Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Thank you for spending some time with me today. Okay, have you seen the ads in the subway for Alternatino? They are everywhere. Comedy Central leaned way into the ad campaign for its newest sketch comedy show from the mind of comedian and actor Arturo Castro. Hi, Arturo.
Hi, guys.
The ads show Arturo as seven different characters. There's a cowboy, a kind of bespectacled professor type, an impish girl. Now Castro is known to Comedy Central viewers for his role as Ilana Glazer's lovable drug-dealing roommate on Broad City, but now he is the headliner, his own show, with his name in the title and everything. Tonight is the debut of Alternatino with Arturo Castro. Take a listen to a clip of Castro playing a dad. He's attempting to give his son the talk about the birds and the bees.
Oh, hold on just a minute there, Buster.
Dad, I'm supposed to pick up Emily in like 10 minutes. I gotta go.
Well, Emily can wait for a little bit, can't she? You got a minute to talk to your old man, don't you?
Have a seat.
You know, son, you're not a kid anymore.
Oh, no, I go to health class, Dad. I already know all this stuff.
Well, they don't teach you about everything in health class. Okay, Mr. Smarty Pants? So just listen. When boys and girls get a little older, they start getting interested in one another, right?
You know, and non-binary people, agendered, intergendered, FTX, gender fluid people.
What?
There's more than just boys and girls now, Dad. And they're not girls, they're women.
Yeah, okay, sure.
slice of life. Many of the sketches in Alternatino take a comedic look at an aspect of the Latinx experience. This one is really funny, this commentary. In a sketch, Castro, who's from Guatemala, can't escape party small talk about people's vacations to every Spanish-speaking country except Guatemala. Then there are other sketches which are a little more political. For instance, there's one where Arturo plays a spokesperson for the U.S. Border Patrol, introducing a new plan to appease critics by promoting free-range migrant children who live in cage-free free-range facilities. You get the idea. It premieres tonight, a show at 10:30 on Comedy Central. Congratulations. This is a
huge
day.
Thank you so much. Yeah, there's a lot of my face out there. Sorry I've been inceptioning you through your morning commute.
Every day for the past 2 weeks, I've been walking by that billboard.
We just saw one in Times Square. My whole family was there, and I used to be a street performer in the same corner where they now have an ad for Alternatino. It's pretty insane.
Oh, my gosh. That must have been wild for your family.
I bought the ad myself just for 7 seconds, just to fool my family into thinking I'm doing well.
Now, you've worked on TV before, though. You were a presenter at one point, right?
Yeah, when I was 18, I was a host of music countdown show sort of thing. Somebody said like the Carson Daly of Guatemala, and I was like, calm down. It wasn't that big. But it was at 8 a.m. on Saturdays, so nobody really saw it from my friends. But out in the countryside, people were like fans. And I got my first letter, like I walked into a deli in the countryside and somebody was like, hey, do you want some tortilla chips for free? And I was like, man, this is what fame feels like. Yeah,
this I've TV made thing it. Is good.
Yeah, I've made it.
So when did you finally come to the States?
I was 19, about to turn 20. I went to school. I auditioned for this acting conservatory, and I moved here in 2005. I started studying, and then did theater for a long time, dramatic theater, and then Broad City came about. And then rest is not history, but you know, there were a lot of taste bud commercials from from one point to another. I played a great taste bud, though. You should watch it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some of my best work. Some of my
YouTube
finest
is for.
Yes, ma'am.
We'll run there. So when you originally came, you were thinking of dramatic work.
Yeah, I was always a dramatic actor. I sort of stumbled into comedy. But you know, when I did Narcos, everybody was like, "Oh my God, are you? You know, who are you?" Mm-hmm. You know. But to me, just dramatic theater was sort of my bread and butter. But I started doing short comedic films, and then once I met Avi and Ilana, I was like, "Oh, this is going to be a great 6-year period of learning how to funny, you know."
So I'm interested, when you came, I read this somewhere, and please forgive me if the internet lies, because you know sometimes the internet lies.
Does it?
Did you want to change your name?
Yes.
When you came?
Yeah, I thought about changing my name for a couple of reasons. One of them was like, you know, every Craigslist sort of apartment I applied to with a name like Arturo Castro, like I'd never get any responses back. And so I changed it to Joe DeSant with this email, and I got to the same place and I would get like really warm responses. I was like, well, what's that going to mean for my actual career? And eventually I did this film with this director called Andrzej Krakowski, and he was like, kid, if they can pronounce my name, they can pronounce your name, it's fine. And so I decided to keep it, and now I see it on billboards, and I'm like, oh, that's so cool. If you have a weird, or not a weird name, but if you have a name that's a little different, I would be watching the show, and you're like, if this dumbass can do it. <You know?
laughs> My guest is Arturo Castro. We're talking about his career and his new comedy sketch show, Alternatino, which took me a while to get Alternatino.
Good.
It takes a minute.
It's okay.
It takes a minute. So a lot of people know you from Jaime, from Broad City, and then you went and you worked on Narcos as a drug lord. And I'm curious, in your early days, I have friends who are actors, who are young African-American men, and they're like, oh no, another rapper.
Yeah.
Like every part that they're going up for, especially when they first start.
Sure.
So I'm wondering for you, as a Latinx guy, did you ever think like, Narcos?
No, not really. I mean, because I've always saw Narcos as sort of a warning shot for the next generation. If you want a fast life of being a drug dealer, like you see Narcos and everybody winds up dead or in jail or their families get ruined, you know? And so that, because there was a historical aspect to it. But like, it's funny because you said that I'm like Alana's drug dealing roommate, and it's, I guess that's on the internet somewhere, but there's, in the very first episode of Broad City, I bring them weed to the park, and they're like, we'll just give you this like Home Depot card in exchange. And that was the only, but it was just sort of like me bringing my friends weed. And then ever since, everybody said, oh, the drug dealing room. And I was like, that is sort of an interesting assumption that Wikipedia made, and now sort of like gets regurgitated. No, it's not your fault at all. But that's so interesting.
Because
like, then it's 5 seasons of like, he's never dealt drugs in the show. It was just this one moment. And then it's like, oh, the drug dealing roommate, you know? And so that's
interesting.
Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah, it is, actually. And, on a couple different levels. On a writer's level, it's like, it's the first thing you introduce a character doing sticks.
Sure.
And then there's the whole other subtext of, okay, we're going to identify him that way.
Yeah, but...
And that's going to be out there in the world.
I guess what their intention was, like, I guess when you're young and like, you bring, like, just give me weed and I'll just pay for it. Like, you know, like, give me weed from your guy or whatever. And yeah, it's sort of stuck in Wikipedia. But for Narcos, you're right. There is this sort of sense of responsibility when you're taking roles. But I remember my first role on television was on The Good Wife, and the character's name was Dishwasher Juan. And I was like, how many Juans were there in that episode? Was there Firefighter Juan, Dr. Juan? Call me one or another, man. I was like, well. And so, but it wasn't until Rat City that I just got the chance to play something more three-dimensional and sort of build upon that.
My guest is Arturo Castro. He's got his new show, Alternatino. Now we'll talk about Alternatino. So it's the format's really interesting because there's this sort of four parts of it are a version of your life, mm-hmm. or things that you've experienced, and then this sort of interesting farcical sketches in between. Sure. How did you decide on that format?
Well, I'm not a stand-up comedian, you know, and since I tend towards dramatic acting as well, I wanted to break up the show in four parts of something a little more grounded, a little more dramatic, you know, and then you have wacky sketches in between those. But to me, it was a way for the audience to get to know a fictionalized version of me.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's a way more heightened version, and he moisturizes his hands way more than I do, unfortunately. But within that format, we get to explore sort of like some of the misconceptions. Like, I'm not a very good salsa dancer or can't do spicy food very well, but and so there's a lot of dating where that sort of happens. Or if I had one said for every time, everybody's, can you say that in Spanish?
Oh no.
I'm like, you mean water bottle? Sure, botella de agua.
Well, let's play a clip. This clip that perfectly shows what you're talking about is you're on a date.
Yep.
And this woman is sort of obsessed with
Latino men.
The Latin lover stereotype. Mm-hmm. So let's take a listen.
So, Arturo.
You don't have to say it like that. It's Arturo, you know?
Arturo.
Okay.
What was it like growing up in Guatemala? I mean, that must have been crazy, yeah?
I don't know about crazy. Well, I lived in the suburbs. We had a little yard with a dog.
Like a sexy Guatemalan street mutt?
A collie. Like Lassie.
What is even a sexy Guatemalan street mutt?
I don't know. I want to find one. I should get one of those. Yeah. there's this sort of like poverty porn sort of narrative out there. Then when you come from another country, that's like, you know, they're like, what were the streets of Guatemala like? I was like, I don't know. I drove through them in my bicycle, and there were some potholes sometimes. You know what I'm saying? And it's I just haven't seen something on television of sort of a more something I could identify with, you know. So a neurotic college educated guy who's just like finds himself to be just like anybody else, but sort of has to subscribe to certain stereotypes, you know?
Are these moments
autobiographical?
Yeah.
Versions of them, yeah, for sure. Like they've either happened to me or my writers, but that's the most fun, I guess, when you can take I have a sketch about some aunts and like all my tias in Guatemala trying to figure out which one's which.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of Catholic guilt tripping going on, but yeah, everything's in the interstitials is sort of taken from my life or my writers' lives.
It's also, I think the set and the directions is really interesting, because there's this one sketch, and I was obsessed with it, where you're in bed with a new girlfriend, and I sort of noticed, like, wow, there's a lot of elephants in her apartment.
You clocked that?
Yeah,
oh my God, that's awesome.
I was like, where is
you
this
clocked
going
that? That
with
is
the,
awesome.
I'm like, where are they going with all these elephants?
It was funny because like my director had the moment of like we were like, oh, so she should have some like elephants or whatever, but then our amazing production designer team was like, oh, well, let's just fill it with elephants.
Oh yeah, they're on the bedspread. That's the first one, and I'm like, then there's one above her bed.
They went so ham on the elephants.
You drink out of an elephant mug,
yeah.
And you find out
was
what.
Like, eventually, where it's that she's a Republican,
like a super Republican.
Super Republican. Like so we've been on 4 dates with this girl. It's going incredibly, and then she goes to take a shower, and I'm like, oh, she's like, just make yourself at home. I'm exploring her apartment. There's these suave hats, you know, and one's like a captain hat, and I like put it on. I'm like, I am the captain now, you know, and an Elmer Fudd hat, and suddenly I put on a red cap, and I'm like, hey, I was like, oh my God, and it's a MAGA hat. And I was like, and then I start clocking everything in her apartment, you know? And then I'm like, no, and a big Ronald Reagan rug. And I was like, how did I miss that, you know? And so it was, but even that episode is sort of about trying to like, okay, if somebody has incredibly different views than you, can you still get along? And so the episode is sort of about trying to bridge the gap.
Yeah, and it was just interesting because this
the elephants are so funny
because it's a mix of sort of the broadness of the MAGA hat and then him freaking out, but then there's these little subtle details. It was just it's really layered.
Oh,
I think.
Glad you enjoyed it. It's I really liked that episode a lot because it is sort of about the question about like, can we find middle ground, right? Mm-hmm. Like, is there something we can talk about? Can we avoid talking politics? And you have to watch to find that out. Yeah.
My guest is Arturo Castro. We're talking about his new show, Alternatino, with Arturo Castro. It premieres tonight on Comedy Central at 10:30, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So we were talking about the parts that are about your life and your writer's rooms, things that people have experienced. And then the other parts are sort of fantastical and off the wall, sort of.
Sure.
What is the process for those kind of sketches? I'm thinking specifically one about you're in Puerto Rico and the president is throwing paper towels at people after Hurricane Maria. And your character you're playing is so happy and skipping joyously down the street with the paper towels and like handing one sheet to people, and supposedly it solves everything.
It solves all
it's
problems.
It's farcical.
Yeah, of course. Well, it was just.
So how does something like that, where does that start in your writer's room and in the development process?
It starts with an idea and a pitch meeting. You know, we Tuesdays are like Monday and every other day besides Tuesday, it's a free for all, you know, about what things we can pitch. But Tuesdays, it's like, what is absurd? What is making you upset? You know what, you know, and
Absurdist Tuesday.
And wow. To me, it was always like, what do you think it was going to fix? You know, and they were like, what if those paper towels were magical and they could actually fix everything in life? And so we have this big splashy musical number with them. And I thought it was and you know, I was talking to some Puerto Rican journalists in Miami, and they were like, this is the first time I'd never thought I could laugh at Hurricane Maria. And it sort of helped me to heal and my family to heal. And I was like, that is the best thing you can get out of a comedic show.
So describe your writer's room to me. Who's in your writer's room these days?
It's a desk, much like this one. I have a seat.
Who are your peeps?
We have three Latinx writers, myself included. We have three women, one LGBTQ plus person, and the rest, the other three, four, are white dudes. But, well, you know, in the process of hiring writers, the tricky part is, like, we were obviously actively looking for people of color in a diverse room in any way that may unfold. But in order for their packets to get to us, they have to have an agent. So they had to have worked before. And so that's sort of the tricky part, that it's a catch-22, right? Like, you have, you know, in order to get to our desk to get work, you had to have worked before. And there's definitely the ratio of people of color or women that get some, not women as much, but people of color submissions that we get weren't as high by any means. But we tried very hard, and we can still go further. But I was happy with the diversity that we managed to have.
Yeah, we were interviewing Mindy Kaling last week about her movie Late Night.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. Is it amazing?
Yeah, it's really good, and it's really smart, and it just gets to that idea of how good it can be if you open up the doors and the windows and let some fresh air in and different kind of people into the writer's room.
It gives you such a great broader sense of comedy. Like the women in our writer's room came up with some of the funniest bits. Like Play and Pivot is sort of like the one about
that was my next question. I was gonna allow you to pivot to something you wanted to. Explain to folks what the pivot is.
Well, basically when you're I find myself at parties a lot where I'm sort of like the only Latino person there, and so people, not meaning with well-intentioned people, like come up to me and they're like, oh my god, you're from Guatemala. I went backpacking in Peru in 6 months ago. And I was like, oh, that's great. Oh, I've never been to Peru, but that's cool. You know,
and they keep asking you your opinion on Venezuela.
And I'm like, but it does happen. And I think it's such a brilliant way to like for them to postpone it forward further. But yeah, I don't think people mean badly. They just want to relate, you know. And they're just like, oh, you know, my father studied in Colombia for a month in 1995. I was like, cool, that's great. I like candle making. What do? You know.
But you learn. Your friend teaches you the art
of pivoting. So you let them get a couple words in and then you pivot them to whatever you want to talk about. So if somebody's like, ooh, are you mad about Trump, what Trump said about Mexicans? You're like, yeah, but not as mad as I am about Joanne Fabrics running out of yellow mustard thread. You know, I'm a big needlepoint guy, you know? And so that's sort of, we're trying to teach people to play and pivot. Yeah.
So what would you like to pivot to at this moment? Let me ask a question. Will there be a season two?
I hope so. I sure hope so. I mean, I know the network really believes in it, and people that have watched it. It's so elating, you know, because you live in a vacuum of just your head's down and you have like, your blinders on and you're just creating the show. And now that people are starting to watch it, the feedback has been really positive. So it's such a grateful moment for us. But yeah, people need to watch it in order for it to be successful. So I hope you guys do. Otherwise, my mom's going to guilt trip you all into doing it.
She will find you, Mom.
She will find you. She will find anybody.
Other big project coming up is Lady and the Tramp.
Isn't that crazy?
Live action Lady and the Tramp.
Live action. I'm a human, and it's real dogs. Yeah. I own the restaurant, and Butch is my best friend. And so me and this amazing actor, Oscar-winning actor, F. Murray Abraham, we set up their spaghetti dinner and we like play the mandolin and we have the scene, the spaghetti scene.
You look so happy describing it.
Oh, I'm so stoked. I mean, it's just a dream come true. I didn't like when the call came through, you know, something happened. This was sort of a learnable moment. The dates for the final episode of Broad City conflicted with Lady and the Tramp, because Lady and the Tramp had to push a week because of a hurricane, and everybody was like, you have to do Disney. You have to do Disney, you mm-hmm. know. Broad City's done everything they can for you, whatever. But I was like, I can't like leave the people that like believed in me first. So I said, I can't do it. And so Disney came back to us and they were like, all right, we're passing on you. And I was super bummed. And then 2 days later, they're like, you know what? You're great. We're going to make it work. And I was like, it was one of those rare instances where I got to keep my honor and still do both, you know? And so that's why this project means so much to me. I was just like, oh my God, it worked out. Doing the right thing worked out, you know?
Wow, you put a deposit in the karma bank.
Yeah. I was like, here, ka-ching, you know? And when I booked it, I went to everybody. I was like, I told you this was happening, you know? But yeah, it's beautiful. They turned all of Savannah, like downtown Savannah, into like 1921, there's horse carriages and like top hats. It was beautiful. Disney is magical.
Wow, you've had a great couple of years.
I'm working on it, yeah.
There you go.
I'm going to have a great sandwich this morning. You know, I'm feeling really good.
All right. Excellent. This is a good note. Let's end it here. Yeah, everybody's
awesome.
Positive.
Awesome, great.
The name of the show is Alternatino with Arturo Castro. Arturo, congratulations.
Thank you
thanks
so
for stopping
much.
By.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to All of It on WNYC.
Thank you so much.